Welcome to A Lindell's Choice, a place where we explore the art of living your best life and the challenges we face along the way. A journey is seen through the experiences of a husband, dad, coach, engineer, entrepreneur, athlete. I'm your host, Team Lindell. We're back for another week. Soccer has finally kicked into full swing. Family packed up the bags. We traveled to Gatlinburg for the weekend for a soccer tournament. Always a good time. The soccer was good. My son's team, they came out on Saturday, had an early morning game, 8 o'clock, came out and played well. Won that game strong, 7-1. First half, they really did a good job passing, creating opportunities. They got a couple goals, smelled blood in the water, became too selfish. They stopped doing the things that made them successful. That carried over into their second game, where they still won pretty handily. The problem was they weren't doing a good job passing all the time. They weren't using the pass to create goal-scoring opportunities. There was too much one-on-one to the goal. That is frustrating to watch. It's easy to see from a distance that when they pass it, they create opportunities, and when they try to hold on to it and do too much individually, things don't work very well. For whatever reason, the kids still don't see that. Regardless, it was a successful Saturday of soccer. In between games, we went to lunch as a team. That was always great to have the kids socialize together and build, have some bonding time. That evening, the kids swam in the pool. They had a really neat pool at the hotel we were staying at. It was kind of a two-tier. They had an upper tier with a big slide into it, and they had a lower tier. The entire pool was pretty shallow overall, but the slide was a big hit. The kids had a lot of fun going up and down the slide. they went from that to playing some basketball down the hill from where we were staying. That was a lot of fun. Once basketball kind of broke up, we got to have some actual family time, which is great. We strolled down to downtown Gatlinburg, walked around, enjoyed the ambience of the place. It is, if you've never been to Gatlinburg, it's an interesting place. It's a mixture of old school tourist trappy with some modern kind of upscale elements to it. It's a very interesting place. Of course, having a 12-year-old son, we made it to the arcade. He was able to play some games to potentially win prizes. One of the things they have at the arcade we generally go to, which I guess is the Ripley's Believe It or Not, they have a ball drop game where you drop 50 balls and they have this little spinning mechanism beneath it with containers. And the goal is to drop those 50 balls into these containers as they go by without missing any. And you have like 30 seconds to drop the 50 balls. This is a game I've gotten pretty good at. We went, of course, I'm like forced to like do it because it had a huge prize, like 1,000 points, which would allow you to get some of the bigger items from the prize board. Took me a few rounds, but I nailed it. We got the 1,000 points. And of course, my son was happy. He got to go in and buy a bunch of stuff off the game board from it. So that was a lot of fun. And we just kind of continued to wander around downtown Gatlinburg, then caught the shuttle back to the hotel, which was a pretty nice night. The next day, we had a game at about, 11 o'clock. They ended up losing the game, 2-0. The game wasn't really that close, and it's not the way you would think. My son's team just dominated the entire game. The opposing team was a year younger. They were playing up. They were really skilled, but they were kind of soft. They were kind of slow. And they really didn't create a whole lot of opportunities throughout the game. Well, yeah, but they scored 2 goals. Well, yeah, they had about 2 or 3 opportunities that were legit. And they hit some bangers from outside the 18 box to get their goals. Meanwhile, my son's team, just they controlled the ball. They were in front of the other team's goal. again, that selfishness from the day before really reared its head. Because the other team was talented. And the trying to beat 1v1, just, it didn't work. My son, he normally plays defense, but they put him up top some this week. What's funny is he's not really an attacking person in general. But when they put him up front, one thing he can do is distribute the ball. They had him. He had him up on the top right. The ball would come out to him, and the one thing that would happen that didn't happen with a lot of the other kids was he would put it back into the middle. And they had a number of scoring opportunities just from that ability to make that pass in the last third, which they desperately need. But they couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. They were over to the side. The goalkeeper did make one really nice save. It was just everything that could go wrong in that game did go wrong because it's soccer. The best team doesn't always win because it's hard to score goals. That was disappointing. Should have probably won that game. You know, it is what it is. We team broke down. It was time before we drove back to Louisville. We went to the Apple Barn, which is kind of the local place that's kind of a Cracker Barrel feel to it. It was good. It was tasty. Didn't really have a lot in there for my son to eat. That's okay. We had fun. Afterwards, we went and played some putt-putt. The world's slowest round of putt-putt. We just had bad timing. A group of like eight came right before we did. And so we had to wait behind them the whole time. We had fun playing putt-putt. The weather was warm. It was short-sleeve weather, which was really nice. Sun was out. Good times. Eventually, the putt-putt came to an end, and we began to work our way back home that evening. It was a good trip. It was a good time with the family. The soccer was good. It didn't end the way we wanted, but that's okay. That's okay. Looking back at the week from some of my development goals, one of the things I've been trying to do is a daily journal. That's still going. One of the things I wanted to do with the daily journal is write down tasks before I do them to help singularly focus. I mark those with a timestamp so that I know I got to them beforehand. I am struggling there. I'm putting the journal in. I'm writing down the things I'm doing, but I'm not always getting to them before I do them, which is an ongoing battle. There's some inconsistencies there I'm still working through. One of the other things I wanted to do this week was work on timers for weekends to keep me from just doing nothing for extended periods of time. Well, doing nothing productive for extended periods of time for no reason. I didn't get to really use that because of our trip to Gatlinburg. I did get to use it one or two evenings to help me get to bed on time, and that seemed to work because it's like timer went off, it's time to start going to bed rather than waiting an hour or two for me to naturally go, oh, it's late, I gotta go to bed. So there's some work there. This weekend coming up should be a bigger challenge. There's less soccer this weekend. I think we only have one game. I'll have some time to myself. I'll have to use it to see how productive I can be on the weekend. I've got a number of things I would like to get done this weekend. We'll see if we can do any of them. One of the things I wanted to talk about today is the challenge of managing day-to-day life. How many times have you said, man, I forgot to do that. I'm sorry. My bad. I meant to do that yesterday. I meant to do that. I just forgot about it. When I was out of college, well, heck, throughout my 20s and 30s, this was a fairly common refrain from me. Managing my day-to-day life was a bit of a challenge. At work, it's not that bad. You generally have a pro. I'm a software guy, software developer, engineer. You had projects. It was pretty easy to break them down into smaller tasks. I mean, this was something I'm a developer. I'm pretty good at software engineering. You know, you'd have to make time estimates because I was a consultant, and you'd manage this. You'd manage your projects at work using your computer, paper, whatever system I was using at the time to manage those tasks. When I started the consulting company, we would set company goals. We'd write them down quarterly and try to come back and hit them. You know, I might use a list for going to the grocery, make sure I don't forget something. My calendar was used for appointments. You know, and I might occasionally have a to-do list, which for the day, which I would have kept on my Palm Pilot. Just kidding. You remember the Palm Pilot? It was before cell phones. It was your organizer to have a calendar, notepad, and those features that are now on cell phones. The Palm Pilot was the predecessor for the modern smartphone. It was obvious you had this cell phone, you had this Palm Pilot. These devices needed to be merged. And they did merge pretty much when I got out of college. So I never really used the Palm Pilot in professional life. I did use it some in college. By the time I got into the professional world, smartphones were a thing, and I was using them to manage some of these tasks. But generally, most of the things I would have to do on a day-to-day basis, you just kept them in your head. I mean, duh. I needed to cut grass tonight. I would just think that. Or I'd be looking outside, the grass is high. Well, yeah, man, I need to cut grass tonight. And that's how things were generally managed by myself. Things changed. Well, I actually had the day I bought the book, July 4th, 2017. I purchased Getting Things Done by David Allen. If you haven't read this book, do yourself a favor and read it. This book revolutionized task management for me. And to be honest, I don't remember how I got by before I implemented at least some of the strategies from the book. The primary takeaway from the book was you have all this information in your brain, you have all this information loosely scattered on your desks, letters, project papers, notebooks with project details in it. You'd have emails with has a million different things to be done. You might have things in your calendar. All of these things are scattered all over the place. What we really need to do is take all these things, combine them into a comprehensive catalog of actions, the projects we're working on, and the resources we need to do the projects, and create this unified system. What we're looking to do is gather all these things that are loosely defined elsewhere, take the stuff, clear it out of your head, your lists, your tasks, any information you stored in your head, get it out of your head, put it on paper, put it on some type of form that you could access later. That way we don't have to be concerned with using our mind to remember all the tasks we have to do, where all the information is, all those things. I can begin to get away from the, man, I just forgot about that. I had that on my desk. I didn't get to it. I forgot it. I just forgot it was there. What we want to do is we want to get away from your mind as the central manager for all these things. And that's what the book does, is it helps you go through the process of taking all these disparate systems we have for managing our day-to-day life and tries to unify them into a central repository. How does this process work? The first step is obviously to go and take all of your notes, everything you have. So if I have notebooks with like project tasks, if I have any letters, any paper documents on my desks, any lists I may have in various forms in various places, you have all my emails, any documents I might have in folders, take everything that's part of our life, put it into one giant inbox. Ideally, it would be kind of a stack on your desk. You know, email, you don't want to print out your email, but okay, so we have a big stack of of physical documents and lists and everything, and then I'll have kind of my technical ones, like email. Maybe I have some other lists that are stored in a digital format. We take all these elements, put it together, and you really kind of want to go through your brain and dump everything possible. If you've got information in your brain, write it down, throw it into the inbox. We want to get everything out of our head. And this is not necessarily something that's very quick to do. Take your time gathering it all, because the more comprehensive the information you put into your inbox is, the better it's going to be. Once we've collected everything, and like I remember when I did this, I had a pile that was, what, a foot high on my desk, maybe 2 feet high on my desk, of things I needed to go through. Once I have all of this stuff gathered into one location, now we need to go through every single item in the inbox, process it. What does that look like? The book takes you through the process of sorting all this and creating kind of a comprehensive system. The first thing you have to do is go, okay, I have this item, be it a piece of paper, be it a list I have written down, be it an email, doesn't matter what it is. The question we have to ask ourselves is this item actionable? If the answer is no, okay. It's a document, it has, say, taxes on it. It's a document that has, it's a manual for my headphones. I have to ask myself, is this item important? If it's, say, my taxes, well, yeah, it's important. Well, I need to store that in a folder. Okay, I put it in a folder. Is it a manual for the headphones I have? Yeah. What if it's a manual for a laptop I owned 10 years ago that I threw away 5 years ago? Is this important? No. No. If it's not important, let's throw it away. We want to declutter our list of documents and papers to things that are actually important, something we're going to have to go back to again. Because if not, let's just get rid of it. There's no reason to keep it. This is a good way to manage all of our documents. Basically, if nothing else, we're cleaning up our document store. Now the question is this item actionable? Yes. I have to cut grass. Maybe I need to return an email that someone was requesting something. I have a bill laying here that needs to be paid. I have a project to work on. Maybe I have I had a mental note to go pick up bread at the store this week. Okay, I have an item that's actionable. One of the clever things he does is now the next question is, can it be done in 2 minutes? Let's say someone asked me an email saying, hey, did you get what I sent? How long does it take to respond with, yes, I did, or no, I didn't? Is that less than 2 minutes? Yeah. What if I have like my trash can beside me that's full? How long would it take me to take the trash, put it in the trash can outside and come back in? 2 minutes? Probably. Well, if you have some task that's going to take you less than 2 minutes to do, do it. Why would I want to record this into my new system? Something that takes just a minute or two to do. Don't record it. Do it. Okay. Now my next question is this item that's actionable a task, a simple action, or is it a project? The book defines a project as anything that needs multiple action items. From a standpoint of myself when I first saw this, this makes things that we wouldn't normally consider to be projects, projects. Let's say laundry. Does anybody think of laundry as a project? No, it's something that generally takes some time, but it's something you think of as just a simple unit, some action I'm going to do. But when we take laundry and we break out what we need to do into different action items, there's actually multiple actions that take place over an extended period of time. I've got to gather my laundry and throw it in the washer. Now I've got to wait. Once it comes out of the washer, some things I want to dry by hanging, the rest I throw into a dryer. Now I run the dryer, that's another action. I have to go hang the stuff that I want to hang. Once the dryer finishes, I got to fold the dried clothes. The stuff I had hanging, the next day I may have to go and fold them as well. While we may think of laundry as a single task, as a single action, it's really multiple actions. So laundry is a project in this system. When we have a project, we want to enumerate all of the action items that we can for that particular project. And then we have the project, it's defined, the action items associated with are defined, and we want to mark what's the next action item for this project. Well, if it's laundry, it's like, hey, I need to gather my laundry, put it in the washer. And we mark which is our next action item for the project. Then we take this project and we put it into a project list. This is our first list, list for projects. If it's a single action, let's say pick up bread when out. Okay, this is not something that, I mean, in theory, you could probably break this into multiple actions, but really, this is one action. I'm out, I need to stop, get bread. Simple action. Is this an action that could be delegated? Well, let's say you have a significant other, they're out and about, and they're going to be at the store getting something else. Hey, can you pick up bread? I have now delegated this action to someone else. And I no longer have to manage it. I can discard it from my pile. Some actions are waiting for the response of someone else. I'm working on a project. I need some artwork for a web page. I'm not an artist. It's gone to the marketing people. They're developing it. I'm waiting on it. I can't do anything with my project until I get that artwork. Well, I need to take this project or this action, and I need to put it over into my second list, which is a waiting list. I'm waiting for someone else to respond. So we have one list for projects, a list for actions that we are waiting from someone else before we can do them, i.e. what's blocking this project or this action. The next question I have with an action is this something that needs to be done relatively soon? And by soon, well, let's say next, say 6 months to a year, okay? I want to take this thing that doesn't have to be done like less than 2 minutes. We're not waiting, it's not a project. We're gonna create a deferred list, our third list. And this is gonna be things that we wanna get done in the next 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever time frame you want to get those things done in. If it's some task that we would like to do in the future or needs to be done in like 2 or 3 years, let's say I know the roof is old. I've still got a couple more years. We need to re-roof the house. We're looking at, let me put this in my fourth list, which is someday in the future. Call it someday maybe. This would include things that I might want to do, but you know, really may or may not get to. Spanish. I coach soccer. It would be useful to know Spanish. I have kids and parents that Spanish is their primary language. It would be good to be able to communicate with them. This is something I would potentially like to do in the future, but is it something I'm going to do? Maybe. If I have time, maybe. Maybe I'll get to it, maybe I won't. This goes on that someday maybe list. As we go through all of our actionable items, they either go into a project list, they're going into a waiting list, something that's going to be done in the future, and something that is someday, maybe way in the future. This process, if you haven't already guessed, can take a very long time to complete. The more information you have in your inbox, the longer it's going to take. I remember that when I went through this exercise myself, it took me multiple days to go through everything. I would create a list. I had my initial list. I would go through it all. Then I'd be like, oh man, I forgot these things. So I'd have to add them in. It took a while. At the end of the day, all of this information ended up into 5 components. I had my folders with all of my important documents that were organized in a way that made sense. I had a list of projects and their actions that needed to be done. I have a list of deferred actions to be done sometime in the near future. I had a list of actions that I might do someday. Learn Spanish, go on a trip somewhere, re-roof the house. And I had a list of actions waiting for something or someone external to myself to be completed. What makes this system cool and why I recommend going through the process is now you have a catalog of everything. One that is easy to access, where you know everything is. You no longer have to keep things in your mind. Now that we have all this stuff, all we have to do is tend it regularly. But tending is relatively easy. We've done most of the work. all I need to do is go through my actions and projects once a week. If they were completed, no longer needed, I can discard them. As things come in, say daily or weekly, I add them into an inbox that's empty. I can process them. I go through the same process. But it's much quicker now because I have fewer items to go through. Once I process the new items, they're in my system. For me, this process is the first step in gaining control of your day-to-day life. To be able to do that, you've got to record everything that needs to be done, and it needs to be in a central repository. You need to empty your brain of all these projects and tasks that need to be done. Because you can take comfort in knowing that everything is recorded. You can take comfort in knowing where you can find the resources that you need. You can take comfort in knowing things aren't going to get lost. Things aren't going to get left behind. Things aren't going to be forgotten. The days of, oh man, I forgot to do that, are gone. There might be, I haven't had a chance to get to that yet, it's on my list, but like, oh man, I forgot to do that, I'm so sorry, let me go do that now. Those days are long gone. So finding comfort in knowing that everything is in a unified system really frees up your brain to be better utilized for things that are important rather than just remembering where things are. Once we have this comprehensive catalog, we can begin to build a system for managing and processing all of these projects, tasks, and resources. And that's going to be our topic for next week's show. So if you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you find this episode useful, tell a friend about it. If you haven't already done it, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.